Quarter them up.
No, just split them open, that's all. Cut the head off, cut the legs off at the elbow and leg. Take the guts out and got this big hot water kettle. And I think they have a throw that water in there and wash it out clean inside. And just go over and a little stick about a foot and a half long, go through the hind legs and hang them up. Hang them up there overnight. Just killing one reindeer right after the other, you know. And
don't they skin them?
No, no. The skin is on there. Oh. And the cold storage barge down there on the beach.
Mm.
You know, the boat coming down and leave it there. The boats, the barges, what they call them, Wechter Brothers or something like that, own the cold storage barge. And we put them in the, hang them up in this barge. And one man there, whoever owns the barge, are working for some other outfit, got nothing to do with the reindeer herd at all, is take care of the barge, the cold storage, you know. Stay there in the barge.
Well, if they didn't skin them, how come my grandmother got a lot of skins?
They skinned some.
Oh.
Yeah.
She used to get lots of them up there and she'd tan them.
Yeah, they skinned some.
They get gunny sack full of the leggings too.
Is that why pictures of, you know, cock rinds way back, people would have those reindeer parkas? Is that from there?
Yeah.
I wondered where they got those reindeer.
Well, all along the river, people wore reindeer parkas.
Reindeer?
Yeah.
Mostly caribou too.
Yeah.
Well, did they get it off from that place or some other place too?
Yeah, from some other places. People down the river, they used to get them from Unicleet. There was a herd around Unicleet someplace too.
Well, how long was that herd at Cochrane's?
Well, I think the last time was Shorty Kells or Freddie Stogie was there.
1930.
Yeah, 1930, I believe. 29 or
1930. Yeah.
Yeah. Reindeer herd was getting smaller and a little smaller, and the caribous come in there in the fall time and they are running off with the caribous. And I guess they weren't making very much money on it, and it, well, they're beginning to lose money on it, I guess, so they lost interest in everything. I believe right now today there's a lot of caribous, I mean reindeers, scattered along here and there.
People ever find
them? It's always easy to tell the reindeers from caribou. I was talking to a game commission and they said there's some roaming around. They know that's part ranger.
What, out there?
Yeah, right now.
So do they mix with the caribou?
Yeah.
That be part caribou?
Yes.
How do you tell the difference?
The caribou was much bigger and they had a kind of a roany nose, like, or what you call, and a reindeer was much smaller with a snub, short nose, like. And they were different colors, spotted too. The reindeers were spotted, and caribou was just that one certain color.
Did you ever ride on a reindeer sled?
Not very much, no. Low down there all the time. Had to walk all the time.
And the guy used to come in with a sled. We, all of us kids used to gather and he used to give us a ride.
Oh, you rode on it?
Yeah. I didn't like it too slow. I run faster.
They don't go by themselves while you stay on the sleigh. A person has to be out in front and lead them.
They can pull, though.
Yeah, so lead them like a horse. Mm-hmm. And they had some kind of a harness on them that the line go between their legs, what they're pulling with, I noticed. Just one line. And I just don't remember what kind of a harness they had. I know what a horse harness looks like, but the kind of a harness they had for a reindeer, I just can't explain.
This must have been different having reindeer around.
Yeah.
Were you doing that when you were 13? Were there many other kids who were 13 doing stuff like that?
That was working there?
Uh-huh, working in other jobs then.
Any other kids was working there?
Yeah.
No, I was the only youngest one.
Were there many 13-year-olds working at any jobs?
No. Mm-mm. No.
What were most 13-year-olds doing?
Oh, they were probably going to school, staying with their parents, trapping.
Do you feel like you had to grow up real fast?
Mm. Yeah, I was pretty big when I was 13 years old.
Did you have to work extra hard to be?
Yes, happy? Yes.
You had to prove yourself, so.
Yeah.
Well, gee, you've been working a lot of years. You ever think that it's time to take a rest
for a while? I guess I'm used to working. I don't feel good unless I'm working. I don't know what retire means. It seems like if I retire, there's more work piled up to catch up with.
Well, what do you think is the best job you've ever had in your lifetime?
Well,
best kind of work.
I liked, when I was working in the mines, of course, I was young and strong, and it was the biggest wages I ever got, was $6 a day, and I kind of liked it because there was no other jobs. I worked in a store, an NC company in Ruby, for a man by the name of George Burmaster, who was manager there. In 1929, I think, or 30. I worked for a while, but I didn't like the job inside. I wasn't working behind the counter or a clerk or anything like that. I just work in the store, handling freight in the store and cleaning up and kind of looking after things in the warehouse and stuff like that.
That one wasn't too good, huh? Being inside?
No, I didn't like it. There was a lot of other, seemed like there was, I thought I was missing a lot of things.
Well, what do you think about?
Like, I was working in the store, and pretty soon, all of a sudden, one evening, it was in April, nice and warm, and four or five dog teams were going out to poor men, some young boys and some girls, and they said they were going out to poor men to have a dance, and some of them going out in the moonlight, and I had some dogs, my own, five or six dogs, and gee, I just took off from the store and never went back to the store again. Come back, and I could have went back to work if I wanted to, but I didn't.
That was enough of that job, huh?
Yeah. But there was another kid there, his name was Tony Lewis, and he liked the job. He worked in the NC company for a long time, and then he went to high school. After he got out of school, he didn't have no parents either. And then he worked in the NC company in McGrath, and worked for the NC company for a long time. Then away after that, he came back to Ruby, his hometown, and he worked in the NC store there for a couple of years, huh? Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was married then. Him and I went to school together. He's over in Bethel now.
Well, what do you think about young people today? Do you think a lot of them might be the same way as far as, you know, working and they see other people having fun and running their dogs or their snow machines and want to be doing that? Or do you think
I don't know.
It's different now?
There's not very many young people are interested in working, even those that had gone to high school. I don't know why. They might be different when they get older, but I don't know. There's too much easy living for them. Everything is too modern, for one thing. And they come out with this food stamps and welfare and all. And a lot of things they don't have to do.
Hand me your cigarettes. There.
And I believe it's none. I believe their parents may have a lot to do with it.
How would that be?
Well, I figure their parents is not helping them along to learn how to trap and learn how to fish and learn how to live off the country. The parents just think, oh, let them learn themselves. I think that's what they think, you know. And the poor kids, why, they don't want to do nothing unless somebody show them, or they don't know how, or... I know there's a lot of them don't know how to work. A lot of young boys, they help me lots of times, but I have to be right there, watch them, and see that things are done right.
So what do you think's going to happen to, you know, young people in villages if they don't learn how to work?
Well, I don't know, I don't know how long this food stamps is going to hold up, and welfare and all, that's something I don't know nothing about.
What else could they do if even if they know how to trap? All this land freeze, you know, they can't go trapping any place.
Do you think it's harder now for kids to grow up than before?
Oh, yes, much harder. Like Jameson, my daughter, they know how to take care of themselves if we pass on. Because they learned a lot of things from us. Most parents don't do that to their kids.
I think the parents should find something their child is interested in and then help them along with that. Whatever, I know, whatever my daughter is interested in and she's doing it, I'll do all I can to help her to, so that she'd have a, some confidence in what she's doing. See, I had learned her how to trap when she was real young, and I had to be right with her to show her how and everything, and pretty soon she went by herself to trap, you know. And she was pretty young, and she trapped Martin by herself. Then she set snares for Wolverine, she catch Wolverine. Then she shoot a wolf with a snow goal. Then she wants fishing, commercial license for fishing. So she worked long enough in the fish camp, helping her mother fishing and have her own boat. And she got enough points that she got a commercial license for fishing. Now she have her own commercial license, own boats, and she have her own snow machines and her own dog team. So we have something to keep her occupied all the time. But maybe people with big families have harder time to keep all their boys occupied. That's what I think.
No, Philip Albert didn't have no problem.
No.
He had big family and all his kids is working for themselves.
They trap the
all of them
hard workers. They trap every winter, the Philip Albert's boys.
Did he spend a lot of time with them?
They must have. They all went to high school too.
Mm-hmm.
And make their own houses and make sleds, snowshoes. Got their teams and
go trapping every winter.
Go trapping every winter. And the girls too, they're making their own living.
Do you think they can be an example to other young people their age?
Yeah.
Maybe they'll try and learn the same thing.
I don't know. That's the only people I know that's. As for the rest, they all want to sit in the house and drink beer.
What kind of jobs are available for people? What kind of jobs could people try to do?
Oh, they could do a lot of things, you know, if they're interested.
There's a lot of jobs are open. There's a lot of these high school kids are qualified for the jobs. But maybe they're not dependable.
Jobs ready in Ruby?
Yeah.
There's a lot of job openings for different things, you know, even for the girls too. But they don't seem to hold their job very long. I think nowadays too, there's, compared to a long time ago, there's too much drinking going on. Like in the early days, there was no drinking, you know. Only the people made moonshine, and a lot of the natives made their own moonshine too. But they never drank that much. But right now, there's beer. They have beer no matter where they go.
So you think that beer really hurts?
It does.
Yeah, that's a... There's a... I used to drink an awful lot myself, but I was working pretty hard all the time. And even though I drank an awful lot, my house was never short of grub or anything like that, and I kept my bills straight. Like if I go out trapping all winter, come in with my fur, well, the first thing I do is pay up my bills. And then maybe what little money I want for drinking, why, I'd take that and drink till I get tired of it, I guess.
Till we drink, leave town.
Yeah, drink sometime for 1 week, then go back out in the hills and stay out for another couple of months or so without even touching it. Never think about it when we're out in the hills. A lot of times out on the trap line, there's some people come by with booze, and as much as I used to drink, I just didn't care for it out there. But when I came into town, after staying out there for 3 or 4 months, that's the first thing I'd do is go right straight to the liquor store and get myself a couple of bottles. 2 or 3 times before I unhooked my dogs. That's no lie.
Well, you think that maybe young people don't like some of the jobs, you know, like maybe like how you didn't like working inside of a building,
that yeah,
some of the jobs are just not suited to them?
Well, no, they have an idea that they're maybe being bossed too much, or maybe working too hard or something, because they're not used to work, too. That's got a lot to do with it.
Gee, you must have been bossed a lot starting to work when you were 15. Oh, yeah.
I had to work pretty hard at times to hold my job. Especially for the first week I get on a job, was a little hard for me.
Did you ever get to where you would just tell yourself you just want to work for yourself?
Yes. But seems like I couldn't get ahead with no money in no way. The only way we had got money ahead was by working for wages.
Well, how did you get wages, like, say, in the 50s?
Fur was high.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Fur was pretty high. And we worked pretty hard. In the summertime we fished, we'd always done good fishing every summer. We used to sell we used to put up tons of fish. I don't know how many tons we put up the most. And we used to sell all our dry fish for 6 cents a pound, a lot of, sometimes.
How much a pound?
6 cents, as low as 6 cents a pound for dry fish. And then the highest, most of the time, was 12 and a half cents a pound.
Was that for eating fish or?
No, just for dog fish. I think in 1932, 1931, I guess, I forget what year they quit carrying mail with dog team. Then after that, we didn't sell very much more fish. The airplanes took over. Then all the mail teams, mail contractors didn't buy that much fish. The storekeepers didn't buy them. The storekeepers used to buy all the fish for the mail contractors.
So when did you start selling strips and eating fish?
We were selling strips and eating fish for, oh gosh, way back as far as I could remember. Not too much. A lot of the people used to put up their own eating fish along the river here, but a lot of people that fish for themselves. Don't put up strips, you know, very much, or eating fish.
And they just fish for dog food?
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you first started selling strips, how much would you sell those for?
Well, I fished above Ruby there, about 3 miles above Ruby with a guy one summer. He was Red Allen, his name was, and he was quite a character. He used to had a big fish camp there and put up tons and tons of dog salmon, silver salmon for dogs, you know, sell them to the storekeeper. And he said, let's make salmon strips. He said, let me see what he told me. He told me, he says, we'll go 50-50 on the salmon strips we put up. So I said, okay. And he cut the strips, I think. Yeah, he cut the strips out, and he was cutting the strips a whole lot different than we do. He had to cut the strips, and then we had to tie them together with wire on top, little hook in the wire. And I used to make holes through the top of these strips and put these, cut the wires and put them through there. And I had to take care of them, put them in the brine, and they had a big alarm clock on the table, and she'd tell me to take them out, and I'd take them out a certain time, and then it was slippery and everything to put this wire on. And and I believe, I don't think he put them strips up like the way we do. Never hang the fish up to dry before he's cut them into strips. And they were on the table, so doggone slippery, you couldn't cut them. And we didn't put up too much, but we got 75 cents a pound for it. And then we put them up there in the smokehouse with all this dogfish. And he was using any kind of wood, driftwood, dry wood, you know, no stove. Just dry wood in open pits, and then sheet iron on top of this fire. Pile of wood there burning, and the sheet iron's over it. And the smoke was going up, and all these strips were black, and they were cured all right, but there were too much smoke in it, you know. And that winter, I stay alone in the little cabin I had in Ruby. That cabin is still standing there yet, a little bit of a log cabin. And I didn't have very much grub at times, and only this lot of salmon strips I had. And I used to eat a little too much of the strips sometimes. It made me sick. There was too much smoke in it.
So he never did cut strips your way? He always cut it with those wires?
I never did cut strips anymore after that, till after I got married. And my wife, I learned from her, because she learned from her folks how to put up strips. Because her grandma and them used to put up the best kind of eating fish, you know, out of king salmon and silver salmon. Also her auntie, I mean, her grandma's sister, I mean, Mrs. Bob.
So after you got married then, you started putting up strips again?
Quite a while after we were fishing, we started to put up strips. And then I think we sold our strips for $1.50 a pound.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was during the war.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did that seem like pretty good
price? Yeah, that was good money. But we didn't put up very much, you know. Mm-hmm. And then there was a lot of it that didn't cure because I wasn't there to take care of the smokehouse and fire like I am now.
Where would you be?
Well, I'd be around the camp all the time, but raining quite a bit, and then the strips were in the same smokehouse as dogfish, and it's not good for strips that way because the strips were getting... we had to have too much fire for the dog salmon and things like that, and the strips wasn't getting the right heat and right smoke. Mm-hmm. It's hard. Well, we can't dry strips in the same smokehouse with dog salmon, dog fish and all. Mm-hmm. We can't, anyway.
Well, how much do you figure you put up now on strips? In the summer, say the last several years, how many?
Oh, not very much. Enough to keep us busy, but I just couldn't say how much strips we put up. Because all the, we're only quota on king salmon, I think, is I don't know what the quota on king salmon is now, and we catch a lot of king salmon in the fish wheels, but there's a lot of them we can't make strips out of too.
So you put up over 100 pounds
though? Oh yes,
a couple hundred pounds.
Yeah.
And that just keeps you busy all summer, doesn't it?
Oh, okay. Yeah, besides other fish, yeah. Uh-huh.
Lorraine was explaining to me earlier today the different names for fish that, you know, I hear people calling different fish different names, like the silver, what you call silver, some people call chum.
Yeah, chums, I believe, are what we, chums. We call them dog salmon, I believe.
Is that different from silvers?
Yes.
And what we call silvers is some red meat with a silver skin, a scale. That's what we call silver in our way.
And that doesn't have any of the marking like dog salmon, that's different?
Yeah, no. It's white meat. Dog salmon got white meat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you're saying that the Chinook?
Yeah, the Chinook start running about now. They're a pretty big fish. They're red skin fish.
Is that the same thing some people call humpies?
I think so.
You got a big hump behind the head?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh, and a crooked nose.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah, black nose. Uh-huh. Some people call it fall king salmon, but I don't know. Because my grandparents had different names for them. You know, native names, Indian names.
Do you remember those names?
No. So they'd know the difference between the fishes. What's Chinook salmon's name for?
I don't know the native name for it.
North Clara, isn't it?
My gosh, yes. I don't know.
Uh-huh. North Clara, and since San Lara is silver, and dogfish is Huroja.
Yeah.
See, so they got different names for all the fish.
Oh, yeah. Same as sheafish and pikes. And
sheafish is Le Clara.
Mm-hmm. Them little white fish, about less than a foot long. Them
Savoya.
round white one, long ones, little bigger.
Oh yeah,
del bigger. Real.
That's grayling.
Yeah, bigger than grayling. Come in. Mm-hmm. They're something about that long.
Oh, be doggone. I didn't know who he was.
He cut his own hair, huh?
What'd you do? You cut your own hair? Mm-hmm. No, you tied it back. I didn't know who
he was. The coffee is warm out there, I think. I warmed up a little while ago.
I thought some man landed without his hair in the woman. Don't you have a haircut?
Yeah, when I go back.
Look better. You look better now. Is it warm?
Yeah, it's warm.
Oh. Johnny. No. I just had a cup.
So, do you have a favorite kind of salmon? You have any certain one that's your favorite?
Oh, I like silver salmon. Never get tired of silver salmon.
You do now?
Oh yeah, I'm tired of fishing, yeah.
We but, don't eat no fish at all.
Yeah, but, well, because we don't cook it, but any time...
Even if I cook it, you just nibble at it.
Oh, I don't eat not near as much as I used to when I was young. I like any kind of fish to eat, except pike. Only time I'd eat pike is in the early in the spring.
Pike is good choya.
Why is it different in the spring?
It's harder meat in the spring, and there's some big ones are fat. And we're hungry for fish in the spring too, you know, we never have fish.
I wouldn't eat pike because I saw him swallow mouse.
Well,
I wouldn't eat that thing even if I was starving. I would say, oh, well, mouse.
Boy, they swallow all kinds of stuff, don't
they?
They
do.
They eat other pike too.
Them big pikes in the lakes, I think they swallow muskrats.
Yeah, they do. My father used to say, he killed a duck, and all of a sudden that duck disappeared, a pike got it. Same way with rats.
Well, when did they, they put up fish a lot of different ways? And sell fish in a lot of different ways, and they started this commercial fishing here. When did they start that, and how did people start doing things differently then?
Well, I'll tell you, my husband and I, we started doing, well, around here, I don't know about down lower Yukon. Then my husband got a lot of strips, two, three summers, and we were doing good with selling strips without buying license or anything. All of a sudden, these fish and game came on us and said that we have to buy license. That was in 19...
We were buying license for a long time.
That was, no, not fish license. That was in 1967.
That's a long time ago.
They just came on us and said that we have to buy license to sell fish.
What kind of license?
Fish license. To sell fish, commercial.
What did license cost then?
About $40.
$40?
$20 it
at
cost.
That time, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And then
that's when it really started, at 67.
Yeah, it cost $40 for both of us. She had license too. But having license to sell fish till she went to work at North Slope, she never fished for 2 years. Then they wouldn't give her a commercial license because they stopped us from selling strips that's caught in nets.
You couldn't sell strips when you caught the fish in a net?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why did they do that?
We just don't know. That's their law.
Was there any difference in the fish between what you caught in a net and what you caught in a reel?
Oh, yeah. Better fish in the net than we'd get in the reel.
So what happened after that then?
Well, I just lost interest in getting king salmon in the nets. I put up the fish.
We put up a lot of for our own use.
I put up my own. You know, to can and put away.
When was that then?
All along, since I lost my license.
Well, I mean, when they said you couldn't sell the fish you caught in the net.
Well, since, let's see, 2-3 years ago, I did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's just 2 or 3 years ago, they said?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's in this area. I don't know about the Upper Yukon. The Upper Yukon, I think they sell fish. Uppers, they have license too.
Well, how about for commercial, for fish buyers now? What kind of fish will they buy?
They buy king salmon.
That's caught in the wheel, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But not on the nets.
Well, how about the silver salmon or the chum salmon?
Or they have commercial net license. Yeah.
No license for king salmon nets. That's a heck of a way, isn't it?
We can't get license for king salmon net. Only for subsistence. We can put in all the nets we want, king salmon nets for subsistence.
Well, do those people ever give you a hard time, you know, checking how you put up fish and
no, they tell don't, you things? They don't come here and bother us. They never look in our smokehouse. But they come by all right, all the time. Nets in yet or not. And we have a short season to pull our nets out on the 15th of July.
Well, are you going to fish for kings next year too?
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. So I jar my fish and put away enough strips for herself and my big
family. We cut them up into eating fish.
Because you mentioned you might be taking your river trip next summer.
After the king salmon. Oh. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When did they start buying fish whole?
When did Harold start to buy fish down here one year? 1970.
Was it Harold or Gertler's?
It was Gertler's.
Yeah. That was in the 70s, 71 or 72.
Yeah.
Which Gertler was that?
Alfred Gertler, the old man.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, he wasn't buying fish.
Oh.
It was Frank Gertler.
Frank and Gertler. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, the guy that moved to Manly.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So what did he do with the fish then, once he bought them?
He sent them to
Anchorage to some buyers and to Ninan, I think. Ninana, there was a fish buyer there.
Mm-hmm. He'd fly them up?
Yeah. Taking the fish to Glina, and I don't know where they were going from there. Going to Anchorage, most of it, I think. Mm-hmm. All of it. Then Harold bought fish for a couple of summers.
That was while I was away, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So do you ever think about just trying to sell your own whole fish, you know, in Anchorage, or freezing it and sending it out? Do you ever think about doing that?
Yeah, I thought a lot about getting a freezing unit, a walk-in freezer or something like that, but I don't know anything about a walk-in freezer, how much it'll cost to maintain it, take care of it and things like that. But first, before I do that, I have to get a buyer, you know, so I'll be sure to get rid of the fish.